to Matthew chapter 2. I love instruments, and let everything that has breath give praise to the Lord. And what a blessing. Dawson said, I asked him if he knew that that was the Lord's instrument, the trumpet. And he might tell you about it if you ask him, but probably not. Matthew chapter 2. We talked about, I know some of you think Christmas is over, but it just really never ends for me, so I do want to take the opportunity today to consider this thought a little bit more, because the truth is, like we said in the beginning of the series, keeping Christ in Christmas is not just about Christmas, it's through every day of our lives. Amen. We want to keep him in all of our thoughts, we want to keep him in all of our praise. Even singing songs, playing instruments, it can, if we're not careful, it becomes about something else and not about Christ. And we want to make sure it's always about him. We want to keep Christ in our speech, like Brother Ben preached a couple of weeks ago, that we want to go and tell everyone the things that we've seen and heard concerning Christ. And so we want to remember all those things. Today I want to talk to you about keeping Christ in our giving. How many of you got a present this year? All right. Did anybody get a lump of coal? Bag of switches? Now, I got threatened with that a lot growing up. Bag of switches or a lump of coal. Hasn't happened yet, but, you know, there's always next year. I always kind of expect it. But I hope you got at least something that you wanted. I told you the other day about the little girl. Her friend asked if she got everything she wanted. She thought for a minute, and she said no. But then again, it's not my birthday. And so we want to remember that it's about Christ. I do hope that you got something, and I hope you're grateful for that. I hope even better than you got something, I hope you were in a position to give something. Amen. What a tremendous blessing to be blessed with so much that you have enough to give to someone else. What a blessing. And it's more blessed to give than to receive, and we know that. But as we kind of wrap up this Christmas season, we move into a new year, I want to go into this new year with a heart to give to the Lord. Amen. We need to have a heart to give to the Lord. Now, live streams are clicking off all over the internet right now because I mentioned giving. And some of you are just stuck. You don't want to be rude and get up and leave. But I know a lot of people don't like to hear preaching about giving. But I want to tell you something, friends. You need to learn the blessings of giving to the Lord. I promise you, as you grow in your spiritual maturity, when you learn to give back to him who has given you everything, when you learn to give to him who owns everything, amen, it's not yours anyway. We're just stewards. Amen. And he asks us to give in honor of him. And we see a picture today of some men who saw the wisdom of giving to the Lord. And we want to have that wisdom as well today and into the new year. Let's stand together if you're able. We're in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you so much for the beautiful day that you've given us, the wonderful privilege to wake up and have another day to live for you here. And I pray that we'll do exactly that, that we will live for you, for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom, for your sake. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who came to be our Savior. We thank you for this time of year. We do pray for those who are struggling right now, whose hearts are hurting and who are filled with sorrow, that they might experience the peace and joy that only Christ can give. Lord, I pray that this year, as we come to a close, that we'll look back with gratitude at your many manifold blessings that you've given us. In spite of the pandemic, in spite of all the other things that have gone wrong, Lord, you have always and always will be faithful. You have been good. And Lord, we thank you for your blessings. And we pray for your help, for your strength, for your wisdom for today. And as we finish this year and move into a new year, we pray that you'll help us to be more faithful, to bring you glory. We pray, Lord, that you'll help the church to see souls saved, to see people baptized, and just to see people growing in their faith, and to see real discipleship happen in this place. Lord, please forgive me for the ways that I've failed you, and help me to preach your word by the power of your Spirit today. Touch our hearts. Change us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. During the days of Herod the king, sometime after Jesus was born, I mentioned what Brother Scott Borland said the other day. He said, when I got my theology from a Christmas card, I had the wise men at the manger. But when I got my theology from the Bible, I understood they came at a later time. We know that this isn't the time that Jesus was born. We know that it was sometime later, very likely a couple of years after Jesus was born, Bethlehem. They're still in Bethlehem, but now they're in a house and they're not in a stable. As you can imagine, Mary didn't really want to hang out at the stable any longer than possible. Sometimes our wives require a little better accommodations. And if we're honest, we do too. Amen. Amen. Camping's good for a little while, but then you want to go home. Amen. And so this is sometime later. Herod the Great is the ruler of that area. He's really not a king. He's just a vassal. He's just somebody that was set up by the Romans. The Romans are in control. Caesar Augustus is actually the ruler of that area, but they set up these different leaders. Herod was one of them. He was known as Herod the Great. He did a lot of great things by the world standards. He rebuilt the temple and made it incredibly immaculate. He built fortresses and defenses and did a lot of things. He was also known for his great cruelty. He was a wickedly, insanely jealous and evil man. And he was great in the things that he accomplished militarily, great in the things he accomplished architecturally, building things, but he was also great in his cruelty and his madness. And this is the time that the wise men had seen the star in the east and they came. Now, we've had a lot of talk about the Christmas star this year. We had the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. They came very, very close together, closer than they'd been in 400 years. The problem was about 400 years ago, you couldn't see it because the conjunction happened in daytime. But the first time in about 800 years, how many of you got to see the quote-unquote Christmas star? Anybody get to see that? Did anybody think it was pretty cool? All right, two of you did. All right, good. Was it really a star? I don't know. Was it anything to do with what happened in Bethlehem? I don't really know. We spent some time a couple of years ago. I shared with you some things that I had seen where somebody had studied what the night sky was like at that time after Jesus' birth and how there was a great conjunction at that time and how that conjunction circled the king star. And from the east, they would have seen it over Jerusalem and how they traveled there. It disappeared, but then it appeared again in the south, which would have led them straight to Bethlehem. And maybe there was something to that. Most of my life, I've always believed that this star was something miraculous, very much like the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud by day that God used to lead Israel in the wilderness. Maybe it was something more miraculous. Maybe it was a comet. There's so much speculation, but I know this, there was a star. And that star signaled the birth of the King of the Jews. And these wise men, these magi, set out to find him. And I just want you to consider their heart to give to Jesus and how that can it can encourage us in our heart to give today. Number one, notice they had a desire to worship. They had a desire to worship. God's not going to be impressed with whatever you give to him or give to someone else in his name if your heart isn't in it. God wants our heart to be in it, and he sees our heart. He sees our heart, and they had a desire. They were looking for the star, or they never would have seen it. Amen. Have you just, so you guys were outside looking at the stars the other night. Man, we've had some beautiful nights this year, the end of this year, just really since October, just some beautiful, beautiful nights. All the stars that you can see, the galaxies and all those wonders. Have you ever just sat out there and looked at them and just wondered, how in the world did the ancients know anything from looking at the stars? Amen. I mean, I can pick out a few constellations. Anybody, you can find the Big Dipper. Anybody find that? How about Orion? Anybody find Orion, Orion's belt? Okay, that's about it, right? One, two, we're good. There's dozens of them every night, and they change throughout the year. And I just think about the ancients and how they did that. I'm just telling you right now, these magi, that's the Greek word we had there, the magi, they wise men, they would not have seen the star if they weren't looking for it. Amen. You and I are not going to see Jesus. We're not going to know Jesus. We're not going to worship Jesus or give to him unless we have that desire in our hearts. And it's going to take some effort. They come and they said, where is he? Because we have come to worship him. They had a desire. They were looking for the star. They wanted to see him. Now, if we have seen his star, if we have seen an indication of Jesus, if we have seen his light in any capacity, it ought to move us to want to worship him. If you considered that there were probably some other wise men over there in the Far East country, probably Persia or Arabia, who saw the star, who understood what it meant, but they stayed at home? Have you considered the fact that there was something special about these wise men because when they saw the star, they knew the king had been born, but they wanted to go to him? When you learn a little bit about Jesus, it ought to make you want to know him more. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I think we've got to be careful because some of us get to church and we hear a little bit about Jesus and that's enough for us and it becomes boring to us and we have the attitude that we've heard it all, we know it all. And I want to tell you something today. If you think you've heard it all and you know it all, then you know nothing. I know all the Bible stories. No, you don't. You think that you have exhausted all the knowledge that there is in Scripture, then you haven't begun to scratch the surface. Because I promise you, the wisest men that I've ever known, the wisest men that I read about, know far more about the Scriptures than I've ever dreamed of, and they understood that they didn't know anything. Amen. The more you learn about the Word of God, the more you learn about Christ, the greater you understand that He is, and you begin to see that you really don't know anything. What we need to understand today is they had a desire to worship him. They knew something about him, but they wanted to know more. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Do you know Jesus today? Amen. We might ask more importantly, does he know you? But do you know him today? And when you know him, do you have a desire to know him more? Amen. And I just want to tell you, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, knowing him by faith. And yet one day we'll get to see him face to face. Amen. See, do you have a desire in your heart to worship him today? Amen. They said, we've seen an indication that he's here. We know that he's been born, but we want to go find him. We want to worship him. We want to bow down before him. We want to give to him. And if you've seen Jesus, there ought to be a desire in your heart to worship him, a desire in your heart to be with him. They had not only a desire, they had a determination. They had a determination to see him. We don't know exactly where they came from. They came from the east. Most Bible scholars think probably Persia or ancient Babylon would be where they come from. There's other debates about that, somewhere in Arabia. We know that wherever it was to the east. And we know that they knew something about Jesus. I'm going to tell you that Persia, ancient Babylon, makes a lot of sense to me because at one time there was a fella named Daniel who was there for a while. And Daniel was one of the wisest men that we read about in Scripture. Daniel had the Spirit of God. Daniel prophesied of God. Daniel had a lot to write about in his writings about one who would come, the Messiah, the Son of Man. And he no doubt left a lot of things there for them to understand about Jesus. I just can't help but think that their knowledge of the King of the Jews had to have been influenced by someone like Daniel. We're talking about centuries later, and here they see the star, and they know the King of the Jews is born. There's a lot that we don't know, and maybe it doesn't do us a lot of good to speculate, but I'm just telling you that there had to be a revelation from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God, for them to know. They had a determination to see him. They prepared their gifts. Listen, they didn't just stop off at Walmart on the way. They didn't put on an online order on Amazon, right? And hope the UPS man could find their GPS address. because we live in Muldrow, and 911 addresses will get you somewhere, but not usually where you want to go. They couldn't put an online order in. They couldn't stop off at Walmart. They had to be prepared for this journey. They knew they had to go a long way. They set out on a long journey. I want you to notice that they were sure about finding him. The Bible says in verse 2, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They didn't come and say, "Is he born?" They said, "Where is he?" Amen. You see, they had a certainty, they had an assurance, they had a surety about Jesus being born. They didn't know his name, but they knew that he had been born. "Where is he?" they said. They knew he was born. They were determined to worship him. They weren't satisfied with just knowing he was born. They had a desire to see him, and they had a determination to see him. It took some effort to get to him, to give gifts to him. It's going to take some determination if you want to be someone who gives to the Lord. You're going to have to make a determination. You're going to have to make up your mind. If you wait around, we'll just mention tithes and offerings for a little bit. If you're going to wait around till you show up on Sunday to decide whether you're going to give to the Lord or not, you're probably not going to give. If you're going to wait until you pay all the bills that you need to pay and then buy all the things that you want to buy, and then maybe you'll give a little bit to the Lord from whatever's left over, you're probably not going to give. You see, giving to the Lord ought to be a priority for us. When I was a young man, I learned that you're supposed to tithe. I didn't really know much about it or what that meant. But I knew I ought to, so when I was in my 20s and I was working, I'd give a little bit here and there. And then I learned one day that we ought to give the Lord the first fruits. Amen. And then I made a tragic discovery. I found out that when I got my paycheck that the government had already taken a bunch of my money. Now, maybe you guys all knew that from the day you went to work, but I was dumb and I was slow and I didn't pay much attention, and I didn't realize that for a long time. And then I found out that the government was taking money from me and I didn't even know it. Not only that, but insurance and other stuff, it was all gone before I ever got my money. But it convicted me, and I learned that we give to the Lord first. Amen. And I learned to tithe off of the gross instead of the net. I learned to give God before I gave government. And when I learned that, it changed my heart. And to be frank with you, it changed my finances. When I began to give biblically and had a heart to give to God first, God changed things. Now, back in those days, we always wrote a check. Now I give electronically. I know some of you like that, some of you don't. Some of you, it just bothers you. But I want to tell you this. I love the fact that we can do online giving today. Whenever I'm blessed, God provides for me in some way financially, you know what I can do? I can immediately give to the Lord right then and there. I can do that. It's awesome. Sometimes you give cash. Does anybody, you guys still have cash? You know what that is? Some of you still use that stuff? All right. How many of you almost never have any cash on you? Just quick survey there. Yeah, that's me too. Reed almost never has any cash. Raised his hand. Maybe a few coins, but not much cash. I almost never have cash, but every once in a while I have an opportunity maybe to give an extra offering. And if I do that and I have cash, I'll tell you what I do. I want to give my best dollar bills that I have. I don't know about you, but some of my dollars that I have, some of the bills are kind of worn out and people have written on them and who knows where they've been. And maybe a few of them a little bit cleaner and a little bit crisper. And I'd rather give the better. Does it matter? If I got two tens and I want to give a 10 and one of them's real nice and one of them's kind of wrinkled up, does it matter? Well, not really, but it does to me. So it matters. You see, we just need to have a heart, but it's going to take a determination. You're going to have to make up your mind a long time before Sunday that you're going to give to the Lord. You're going to have to make it a priority. And I want you to see that these wise men, they didn't just jump in the minivan and take off. There had to be some serious preparation that went into their journey. There had to be some getting together of the resources for their trip. There had to be some getting together of the resources to give to Christ. So there was a desire to worship. There was a determination. Would you notice also there was a diligence? They didn't just determine. They had some diligence in seeking him. They saw his star. They went to Jerusalem. They were expecting to find him in the palace, but they didn't find him there. They came to Jerusalem in verse 2 saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Now we know Herod was a liar and all he wanted to do was find Jesus to kill him. Amen. He killed his own children, and killing some other rival that was supposedly some king was no big deal to him. He'd just kill them too. They came to the palace and they didn't find him there. They found out that he would be in Bethlehem. And in verse 9, the word of God says, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Amen. The star that they had seen when they were in the east that led them to Israel had disappeared at some time, apparently. And when they find out from the word of God where they need to go, the star reappears and leads them to where they would find baby Jesus or the young child Jesus. Diligently, they sought him. When they didn't find Jesus where they expected him, it didn't stop them. They didn't just show up and say, "Well, he's not here. I guess we'll go home." Sometimes I think we lack diligence in our service to God today. Sometimes I think we start out, especially a new year, with really good intentions. But when things don't go the way we expect them to, we want to quit. When things get a little bit more difficult than we want them to be, then we quit. And listen, 2020 has certainly presented us with a lot of weird challenges. We've been presented with some things in 2020 that people haven't dealt with in almost 100, in probably 100 years or more. We've seen some things. We've dealt with some things. We've had some challenges. We've had some hurdles. But I want to tell you, we need to stay faithful no matter what the challenges are. We need to stay faithful when things don't go the way that we expected. In my office, if you come visit me in my office, and you're welcome to do that anytime, on the wall there's a dry erase marker calendar. Anybody ever seen that? Got one of those? And it just serves as a reminder. Every day I go in and put one little mark to start the day and the other mark to finish the day. And it's all filled up now. It makes me a little sad, to be honest with you. Like, I thought Christmas would never get here, and now it's gone. And now I'm sad. Okay? And now we start looking forward to Easter. Amen. No? Yes, we look forward to Easter. Okay, when you go in there and you look at that board and it's all filled up, I remember this time last year, I had my calendar and I had it all planned out. Had all these things that we were going to do in 2020. All of these events we were going to have at church and all of these big things that we were going to do. And then COVID. Back then we called it coronavirus. And then we called it the Rona. And now we call it COVID. My plans were changed. But does that really change anything? Does it change God's power? Does it change God's purposes for this church? Does it change his sovereignty? Does it change what business you and I are supposed to be about? Because COVID came, does that mean we're not supposed to be a church anymore? And we're not supposed to preach the gospel anymore? And we're not supposed to reach out to the lost anymore? Does it mean that we don't pray and we don't worship and we don't study and we don't make disciples? Does all of that just go away because something unexpected came along? No, we've got to have some diligence to keep serving him and to keep worshiping him and to keep preaching the gospel and to keep reaching out and do all the things that he's called us to do. And yeah, maybe we got to do it a little different. Let's have church in the parking lot. Let's have some people who are out there probably right now listening on the radio in our parking lot. Let's have some people live streaming at home. Whoever thought Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Mulger, Oklahoma would have a YouTube channel and live stream on Sunday mornings? I'll go ahead and tell you, it wasn't on my agenda. Maybe it should have been. Maybe it's a great platform and an opportunity to reach people we might not otherwise reach. But I'm telling you, we don't quit. We keep moving forward, and it's not what we expected. Maybe they thought their journey was over when they got to Jerusalem, but it wasn't. They had 6 or 7 miles to go. Amen. But they were diligent to not quit, Amen. And they kept going. Amen. By the way, as a side note, it's really important that they had to look into the Word of God to find Jesus. It wasn't enough to look to the stars. They had to look to the scriptures. Did you get that? Hey, that's really, really important truth. I believe this. God has declared himself to be real in creation. When we look at creation, we know that there is a God in heaven. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. When we look at creation, we know he's there. I may not be able to understand the things that I see like those wise men did when they look at the stars, but I know that there's a God in heaven. Amen. But I'm not going to find Jesus. I'm not going to know Jesus until I get to the scriptures. Amen. So the stars are really good, but the scriptures are what gives us the truth. Amen. And so they had diligence. They had a desire to worship. They had a determination to see him. They had a diligence in seeking him. I want you to notice when they leave Jerusalem, there's no indication that anyone went with them. We have these wise men who came from the east. Now, how many wise men were there? Obviously, there were three because that's what the song says, right? Yeah, maybe not. I know this, without doubt, there were at least two, because it's plural. It doesn't say wise man, it says wise men. There were at least two. The ancient church leaders, the earliest tradition was that there was 14 of them. You ever heard that one before? 14. Sometimes we get more theology from Christmas cards and Christmas carols than we do from the Bible. If you want to be adamant that there were three, I don't know that you really got a lot to stand on there? I mean, there were three gifts. It's true. Does it matter how many there were? However many came from the east, they come to Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees and Herod and everyone who was there hear that the king has been born. They're supposed to be longing for Messiah to come. They're there. They hear that he's been born. They find out that it was sometime less than 2 years ago. Remember? When did the star appear? Well, Herod's going to go kill all the baby boys 2 years old and younger. So sometime in that time frame. But when the wise men leave Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem to find the Christ child, nobody goes with them. Wherever Herod was in his palace, whatever scribes and Pharisees and priests he calls, whichever ones of them were there to hear all that transpired, none of them bothered to go along. They all stayed behind. I want to tell you this. We need to be diligent in seeking Jesus, even if we do it alone. Amen. See, most of you, it's pretty easy. Your wife's a believer, your husband's a believer, your children are believers, your family are believers, and you can seek Jesus together. But it's not that way for everybody. It's not that way for everybody. Some people got to leave their family behind to follow Jesus. Some people have to stand alone at work to follow Jesus. Some people don't get to have all the friends they used to have at school when they're following Jesus. And I just want to tell you that we need to go, even if we have to go alone. Amen. We need to be diligent. And then notice their dedication. They had things to dedicate to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they go down to Bethlehem. In verse 9, they departed, and the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So they're going on their way. They're incredibly joyful. Verse 11 says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were dedicated to him. There was a dedication of themselves to him. They fell down and worshipped the young child. Now, Jesus was somewhere between birth and 2 years. He was very young child. But when those magi saw him, they fell down and worshipped him. The very first thing you and I need to give Jesus is ourselves. We need to give ourselves to Jesus. And whether you understood it or not, or realized it or not, the moment you were saved, you were giving yourself to Jesus. You might not have realized it at the time. Maybe you were like I was, and all you knew is you were on your way to hell, and Jesus died for you, and you wanted him to be your Savior. And you ask him to forgive you, and you ask him to save you, and that's really all you knew at the time. But at some point, we've got to come to the knowledge and understanding that when Jesus saved you, he got all of you. Our body and our spirit are Christ. He paid for us. Every part of us he died for, he redeemed, he owns us. Because we belong to him, and there ought to be a commitment of ourselves to him. Now that happened the day you were saved, whether you realize it or not. But I want to tell you that it's something you need to understand and renew in your mind every single day. When I was growing up, we used this term that somebody rededicated their life to Christ. You ever heard that before? Rededicated themselves. I've heard some people speak out against that theology, and the reason is because some groups use the phrase rededicated their lives. What they mean is somebody got lost and they had to get saved again. And that's what they mean by rededicated. Well, I don't believe that, and when I use the phrase rededicated, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who's saved and they're saved forever, but they've gotten themselves a little dirty in this world. They've allowed themselves to get off track a little bit. Their mind's not where it needs to be. Their heart's not like it needs to be. And they need to repent and rededicate their life to Jesus. And I think you and I ought to do that every single day. I think every day we ought to wake up and give ourselves afresh to Jesus. Every day we ought to yield our lives to him. Every day we ought to ask for his Spirit to come into us and to fill us and to lead us and to rule our lives. Every day. They fell down and worshiped him. And then they presented unto him gifts. They dedicated themselves to him, and then they dedicated what they had to him. You and I need to dedicate ourselves to him, and then we need to dedicate everything that we have to him. There's a lot of debate among theologians and scholars whether these gifts mean anything or not. Whether the Magi understood that Jesus would be king, if they understood that he was, in fact, God in the flesh, if they understood that he would die as a payment for the sins of the world one day, I don't know if they understood it or not, but I think we would be foolish to ignore the symbolism in these gifts. Now, can I be dogmatic and say that's what they meant and that's why they brought them? I don't know about that, but I know this, that gold represents the royalty of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. 1 Timothy 6, verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the only Lord and Savior, and they recognize his royalty with their gold. Frankincense represents the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus has always been God. Before the creation of the physical universe, Jesus was God. Before the town of Bethlehem ever existed, Jesus was God. And when he was conceived in Mary's womb, he was God. And he was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, he was God. And when he died on the cross for my sins and yours, he was God. When he rose again the third day, he was God. And he sits at the right hand of the Father this morning, and he is God. And when he comes again, he's God. And forever and ever, he will always be God. Jesus says in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He's the creator of all things, and all things are created for his glory. We know that he was the Word, which in the beginning created all things, and we know that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Hebrews 1:8, God the Father says to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And that frankincense, which was used in the temple worship, it was not used in sin or jealous offerings, but it was used in the meat offerings and the showbread, and it was used to honor him as God. And then we see the myrrh. Myrrh was a burial spice. Look at John 19:38. John 19:38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Jesus is a little boy, not 2 years old probably yet. These magi travel from Persia or Arabia or somewhere far away. When they come in the house and they see Jesus and Mary, they fall down on their faces and worship him. These are not Jewish men. But these are men who understand something about who he is. And after they worship him, after they bow down before him, then they open up their gifts and they present them to him. They dedicate them to him. They worship him by giving to him, and they first give him gold. And after they've given them gold, and we see the picture of his royalty, then they give him the frankincense, and we see the picture. It's very costly for one thing, but we see the picture of his deity, that he is God. And they lastly open up the myrrh and they present it to him, and we see the picture of his dying for our sins. And just imagine all of that laid at the feet of Jesus when he's not yet 2 years old, and the weight of all of that and all that it means on him. And he would grow. And he would become a man. And he would live without sin. And he would willingly die on the cross for you and for me. Even when he was a tiny baby, even before he was born, when his life was announced, it's always been about the purpose for which he came. His name will be Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. Whatever you would give to Jesus, your time, your talents, your abilities, your treasures, your tithes and offerings, I want you to know today that he is worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I want to invite you to stand with me this morning. As our musicians come, I want to encourage you to ask God to do something in your hearts this morning. David prayed often for God to search his heart. And I wonder if you would search your heart this morning. Is there a desire to worship Jesus in your heart today? Is there a desire to worship him? Is there a desire to give to him? Is there a desire to live for him? If there's not, you know, there's a remedy for that. It's called repentance. And if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart today, I want to invite you to respond in faith and obedience as we sing.